Now, this tape is the answer that I'm sending to a young man who wrote me some questions about the Word of God. And he wrote me the letter because he was deeply upset by the universally distributed pamphlet being sent out by Stuart Custer of Bob Jones University, lying about the quality of the Textus Receptus. I have a copy of the correspondence from Stuart Custer here before me, 3 pages, single space. And as to this young man, who, by the way, is a missionary in Alaska, I thought I might make a tape that anybody could use anytime, any place, to offset the vilification being passed out by Bob Jones University against the King James Bible, while professing to honor it. The apostate fundamentalists at Bob Jones University, who are members of the Alexandrian cult, have placed a notice on the pulpit of the auditorium that no man has used anything from that pulpit but a King James Bible. Behind that in the classroom, the head of the Bible department, Stuart Custer, is putting out the material I'm going to give you on this tape, which I'll read. And I'll remind you, as I have shown before from documented evidence on slides and shown up and down this country in various churches at various times, may I remind you that this same faculty who said we wouldn't have anybody on our faculty that was against the King James Bible or spoke disparagingly of it, has also said they are not in sympathy with any Bible translated from any other text in the Westcott and Hort Greek text. I have here a copy of a letter from Bob Jones III to the Elzingers, and the response for this, Bob Jones III to Elzinger, September 11, 1976, we would not tolerate anyone here to attack the King James Bible. The enclosure from Custer and Neal says this. It says, we have no sympathy with any version of the Bible that is not faithful to the Greek text, and the Greek text is the text of Westcott and Hort. So while the naive president of the university is standing up telling people he wouldn't keep anybody in the faculty who attacked the King James Bible, his faculty has stated they have no sympathy with the King James Bible or any other Bible translated from the Textus Receptus. I have the letter right here, photostatic copy and slides made of it. So in dealing with these professional liars, we should take time out to analyze their purposes, motives, and plans for replacing the King James Bible with the professional lying of the cult members. Those of you who are familiar with the Alexandrian cult know the cult includes Robertson, Macon, Warfield, Zodiades, Kenneth Wiest, and the vast majority of apostate fundamentalists teaching at Christian universities today. They all have the same line. We've talked a good bit about their line, how they operate, how they handle things. We've talked about the sins of the cult and the cult members. And if you have other tapes in this series, of course, you know their method of operation. You know how they talk. You know how to spot them. They can be spotted quite simply by the way they talk. And they are professional liars who are paid salaries to lie about the King James Bible. The apostate fundamentalist says he believes the Bible is the Word of God, that it does not contain the Word of God, but is the Word of God. He professed to believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of the Bible. He says people who believe the AV is the Word of God are nuts. They're riding a hobby horse. He says that no translation is inspired. Only the original manuscripts are inspired. And that you have to know the original text to find the deeper meanings. The apostate fundamentalist is characterized by the following expressions. The original Greek says, quote, the Greek text says, quote, this is an unfortunate translation. All qualified authorities agree that something. Recognized scholars believe this passage is spurious. Good men disagree as to the genuineness of this passage. Godly scholars labored many years to restore the original. This translation is reliable because godly men translated it. There are many changes in the different edition of the AV. The main thing is soul winning. And with 30,000 changes in the new ASV, not one fundamental doctrine of the faith is changed or revised. That is how you mark the official Alexandrian cult member who has replaced the authority of the Bible with the authority of apostate Christian scholarship. When I say apostate, I mean a professional liar who professes something he doesn't believe. We do not hold to the teaching that the apostate is an unsaved man who professes Christianity, since the word Christianity doesn't occur anywhere in the Bible. We say that an apostate is a man who stands up and publicly declares he believes something that he does not believe. And in this case, the apostate fundamentalists are exactly like any liberal or unsaved man, and so they're often confused. We have never said that Westcott and Hort and Robertson Macon were unsaved liberals. We've said that they were egomaniacs and fanatics and irresponsible bunglers and meddlers with the Word of God and not capable of teaching a daily vacation Bible class. We did not say they were unsaved liberals. We said they were demon-led and demon-controlled fundamental apostates and conservative reprobates who substituted Christian scholarship for the authority of the Word of God. Now for the letter from Stuart Custer, which contains in it two types of lies. The innuendo or implication by stating one fact without going into details or stating additional facts, and the direct out-and-out blatant lying, knowing he is lying. Stuart Custer, quote, "Fundamentalists have had to attack the wave of liberal mistranslations and paraphrases of the Bible that have appeared. Unfortunately, some well-meaning defenders of the faith have extended these attacks to include the New American Standard Bible because it does not follow the Textus Receptus. Some of these attacks have been very misinformed. They seem to assume that the Textus Receptus is the original Greek version of the New Testament." Now, this is the first innuendo or implication. I know perfectly well that no defender of the King James text, such as Dr. Edward Hills, or Dr. David Otis Fuller, or Bergen, or Wilkerson, or Pickering, or Zane Hodges, ever thought for a minute that the Textus Receptus was the original Greek version. So the first slander is by innuendo. It is implied that we people who defend the King James Bible have mistaken the Receptus for the original Greek. I don't. Hills doesn't. Fuller doesn't. Pickering doesn't. Wilkerson doesn't. Hodges doesn't. Bergen doesn't. Nor does anybody else. Custer is setting up a straw dummy, preparatory to knocking it down to show you what a big, bold, brave man he is. I don't know anybody in the United States or Europe who thought the Textus Receptus was the original Greek version. Custer is talking through his stack. Quote, "Actually, the Textus Receptus is an addition to the Greek New Testament, which was put together by a Roman Catholic, Desiderius Erasmus, in 1516, from manuscripts that go back to the 10th and 11th century." Now, this is the party line of the Alexandrian cult, which we've commented on in our dissertation on the material given us by McCrae and Newman. The Alexandrian cult, the apostate heretic who is a conservative fundamentalist, will state a thing in such a way as to make you think something that isn't so. Now notice how beautifully this is stated by the apostate Bob Jones University teacher, Stuart Custer. Quote, "Actually, the Textus Receptus is an addition of the Greek New Testament which was put together by a Roman Catholic, Desiderius Erasmus, in 1516 from manuscripts that go back to the 10th and 11th century. Erasmus only had one manuscript of the book of Revelation and it lacked the last six verses. These spurious words are still in the Greek text for the Receptus." Now, that is laid out to make you think that the Greek text from which your King James Bible came, which was not Erasmus exclusively, is a Roman Catholic text based on late manuscripts. Now notice how beautifully the thing is worded. The thing is worded so that if you don't have any additional information, what you have is 90% true. Now watch it carefully. "Actually, the Textus Receptus is an addition of the Greek New Testament, which was put together by a Roman Catholic, Desiderius Erasmus. No, as a matter of fact, it certainly is not." In the next paragraph, "It is true," quote, "that some readings of the Textus Receptus have been traced back to 400 A.D. Then the Textus Receptus has been around a lot longer than Erasmus. And you are told here the Textus Receptus, quote, "is an addition put together by a Roman Catholic." Nothing could be further from the truth. There are witnesses to the Textus Receptus as far back as any other family of manuscripts extant. Proof? Get Wilbur Pickering's book on the identity of the New Testament text. Custer lied. Now, it's true this lie was given through ignorance or innuendo, implication, where he wanted to make you think something and it wasn't so. But ignorance is no excuse for breaking the law. The thing was also stated to make you think that if it was put together from manuscripts of the 10th and 11th centuries, it couldn't be very accurate. Notice that Stuart Custer was very careful not to go into any manuscript evidence. Did you notice that? For example, he forgot to tell you that the majority of readings from majority manuscripts are Textus Receptus readings. And they go back a long way behind the 10th century. But notice how the seed of infidelity was planted. You were also led to believe that if Erasmus was a Catholic, he must have produced a Catholic text, although you weren't told that. This implied that Westcott and Hort, who weren't Catholic, must have produced a Protestant text, although you weren't told that. Notice how the deadly seed is planted. Quote, "To accept as the only true text an edition of the Greek drawn up by a Roman Catholic humanist in 1516, and to ignore the importance of manuscripts that go back 13 to 14 centuries before this edition, is misguided zeal." Now notice how the thing is planted. And this thing is all planted without information, without documented facts, without discussing manuscripts, or without discussing manuscript readings. Notice the whole thing is laid out by stating a quarter of the truth without an explanation for the truth stated. Now let's look at this thing a little bit closer. Quote, "Erasmus was a compromiser who, while admitting in his private letters that Martin Luther was right in his attack against the Roman Catholic Church, nevertheless always remained publicly loyal to the Catholic Church." Period. Now, do you know what Bob Jones University expects you to make of that statement? Since they didn't explain it and didn't discuss the matter any further, but attacked Erasmus personally, as these fellows always do, their man followers may always get into personalities. They have a terrible time dealing with fact. Now, I'm going to give you two facts right now that can be checked in court with a documented legal brief. Number one, when Custer put this nonsense out to make you think that a Roman Catholic had to produce a Roman Catholic text, he forgot to tell you, one, that he had a book in his library which presented documented evidence through 42 readings that the text of Westcott and Hort and Nessels was a Roman Catholic text and Erasmus' text was a Protestant text. And he had it on his table when he wrote this paper because he commented on that book in a publication of Bob Jones called The Biblical Viewpoint. And I have the quotations here, photostatic copies. Two, not one time since 1516 did any Roman Catholic, dead or alive, high or low, ever recommend Erasmus' Greek text. Three, every Bible published since 1800 by the Roman Catholic Church is from the Alexandrian text of the New American Standard Version. That can be proved in court. If you don't believe it, try me for size. I'll fit good. Now, isn't it strange how this fellow dropped this poison seed in your mind and never discussed the facts? The facts are the Alexandrian text for the New American Standard Version, recommended by Bob Jones University as the best text and by the head of the Department of Bible, Stuart Custer, is the Vatican manuscript of the Roman Catholic Church in the Vatican, which is behind all their translations of the Bible. And if you stop any cardinal, bishop, or pope on the street today and ask him to recommend a version, he would recommend any version except the version taken from Erasmus 1516, Textus Receptus. Now, what do you make of this? This man has led you to believe, because the man was a Roman Catholic, as was Martin Luther, and put out the receptors that it must be a Roman Catholic text that you couldn't trust without saying it. And in a minute he's going to lead you to believe that if Westcott and Hort were Protestants and put out a text, it must be a Protestant text. Forgetting to tell you, the Westcott and Hort text is the Vatican manuscript from the Vatican Library. I have here Christ Among Us, page 90, Neil Obstin, published by Roman Catholics, and it says the best way to receive God's word is when the scriptures are read at Mass. It is then that God addressed his word to his people. It is important to have one of the newer versions of the Bible, page 174, either the RSV, or the New American, or the New English, or Phillips, or Good News. That is the nothing objectionable recommendation of the Roman Catholic Church. Not one version I listed is from Erasmus 15:16 text. Do you know why? Because the Roman Catholic Church has much more intelligence than Dr. Stuart Custer and knows the Bible much better than Bob Jones University. And the Roman Catholic Church knows the RSV, the Jerusalem Bible, the New American Bible, the New English Bible, Phillips and Good News, are from the Vatican manuscript of Westcott and Hort, recommended by Dr. Stuart Custer. Now, those are the facts. I don't have to discuss anybody's personality or their compromising to get facts. Facts are stubborn things. Continuing on Custer, quote, Erasmus had only one manuscript in the book of Revelation, and it lacked the last six verses. Undaunted, he took his Catholic Latin Vulgate Bible and translated the Latin into Greek for those verses. In doing this, he created some words that are not in any Greek manuscript anywhere. These spurious words are still in the Textus Receptus. Now, here we have one implication and one direct lie. The direct lie says, quote, these spurious words are still in the Textus Receptus, without telling what they are or why they're spurious. Then we have the damnable innuendo that if Erasmus only had one manuscript and didn't have the six verses, that he couldn't possibly have gotten the last six verses right. Now notice how Bob Jones, in their satanic approach to biblical criticism and their desire to overthrow the authorized version with such garbage as the New ASV and International Version, will plant a poison seed in your mind and let it germinate without giving you the other side of the question when they make the statement. Custer stated that thing to make you think that if Erasmus only had one manuscript and it lasts the last six verses, that the last six verses in your King James Bible couldn't be right in the authorized version. Did you notice how it was stated? Now, if you didn't, would you go back and read it again? Play the tape back and get it through again. Now, having seen what this man was trying to plant in your mind, that is, understanding thoroughly that if Erasmus only had one manuscript and didn't have the ending, then when Erasmus got that much of his Bible from a Latin Bible, without telling you he also had old Latin Bibles, and that part of Jerome's Latin Vulgate was from the old Latin. I'm nothing like a lying rascal to get by without presenting the evidence, isn't it, boy? Without telling you that, he planted in your mind the fact that the New American Standard Version, the newer Bibles, must be more accurate than the King James in the last six verses in Revelation. Shall we look at the documented evidence that Custer refused to give you because he was so anxious to pull off a lie and teach a falsehood? He was slobbering at the mouth. Are you ready? Quote, the Greek text of Erasmus in this passage contains 135 words, of which Nessel, Olive, and Metzger omit 17, add 5, and alter 13, making a total of 35 words affected. Of these 35 words, 26 make no perceptible difference in English translation, and the 9 that remain are of very little significance. You say, what good argument is that? Well, that's the argument that Custer uses for getting rid of the King James Bible. Didn't you notice that? In page 3 of this smear sheet, he said, for the vast majority of verses in the Greek New Testament, we do not have the exact reading that was in the original. there are no significant variations in readings in any of the manuscripts for the vast majority of verses. Okay, Sonny, of these 35 words, 26 make no perceptible difference in English, and most of the remaining 9 are of small significance. Quote, shall add to them, A.V., these things, verse 18, words of the scroll, book, verse 19, tree of life, book of life, verse 19, omit and after holy city, verse 19, omit even so, verse 20, omit our before Lord, verse 20, omit Christ, verse 21, omit you, verse 21, omit amen. With regard to the final amen, the opinion of Erasmus has been upheld by 50 out of 83 English versions. Codex Sinaiticus, the 4th century, Erasmus would have observed this ancient codex, confirmed his judgment, and had the amen. On each of the disputed words, Erasmus has been supported by many translators. For instance, while 36 of the 83 English versions referred to Abdidus in verse 21, the latter, the King James reading, was adopted by 46 authorities. And if Erasmus had certain copies of older manuscripts, he would have been wrong. A good late copy is to be preferred to a bad early copy. This has been demonstrated with regard to the closing amen. Codex Sinaiticus includes it. Codex Alexandrinus omits it. The Latin copy used by Erasmus to complete this section were later than any of these, but they included the final amen, and in this detail, they are superior to the much earlier Codex Alexandrinus. Superior antiquity is by no means a guarantee of a superior text. I'm quoting the Trinitarian Bible Society versus Bob Jones University. Bob Jones University says, obviously, quote, the manuscripts closest in time to the writing of the apostles and prophets have the highest claim to superiority. The readings of the oldest manuscripts are the best. Trinitarian Bible Society, superior antiquity is by no means a guarantee of a superior text, and a good late copy is preferred above an early bad copy. The text edited by Erasmus and refined to some extent by Stephanus and Beza underlies the authorized version. These last 6 verses have been regarded as the weakest part of the received text, but, are you listening while we correct this blasphemous apostate fundamentalist at Bob Jones University, backed up by the President of the University? Are you listening? Quote, when all the manuscripts, versions, and fathers have been assembled and consulted, and the most penetrating textual criticism of the last 100 years has been directed to this passage, the correctness of a large portion of the text of Erasmus is confirmed, and the case of a few exceptions, it cannot be shown with certainty that the modern critics are right and Erasmus was wrong. What does Stuart Custer say? Quote, these spurious words are still in the Textus Receptus. Dr. Custer, you're a liar. You don't know they're spurious. You can't prove they're spurious. You couldn't if you tried, and you knew it when you said it, and tried to deceive this young man into thinking you would tell the truth when you wouldn't. Continue the quotation of the Trinitarian Bible Society. The correctness of a very large portion has been confirmed, and it cannot be shown with certainty that the modern critics are right. To affirm with certainty is not the same thing as to demonstrate with certainty. So in dealing with a professional liar in the Alexandrian cult, one should never take him seriously, even where he states the truth about these matters, because the truth is always a half-truth, or a truth without explanation, or a quarter-truth, or a truth so stated as to imply a falsehood. Continuing Custer's letter, quote, it is true some of the readings of the Textus Receptus have been traced back to 400 A.D., what do you mean, some of the readings? Why, some of the readings of any set of manuscripts can be traced back to 400 A.D. But as far as that goes, some of the readings of any set of manuscripts or family of manuscripts can be traced back to the 2nd century. You say, where do you get that from? Well, that's simple. Read. Zane Hodges' analysis of these things, and read the book by Wilbur Pickering on the identity of the New Testament text. The idea of saying some of them can be traced back to 400 A.D. You know what he tried to plant in your mind that time? I mean, this is the most poisonous bunch of serpents Bud that ever lived. There's no liberal in the National Council of Churches that could hold a torch to how they operate. You know what that thought tried to make you think? That thought tried to make you think that not all the receptus went back to 400, but some of it did, and that is as early as it went. That's what he tried to put in your mind. Do you realize that? What that fellow tried to do? He tried to make you think that only some of them could go back to 400 and the rest of them were later than that. Now, doesn't this fellow know the family manuscript thing is a hoax? Hasn't he been studying? Hasn't he learned that when you find a King James reading in the 2nd and 3rd century, they simply call it Alexandrian if they can find it in the Alexandrian too? Doesn't this boob know that? Doesn't he know that family classification of manuscripts invented by Griesbach and Lachmann was for the purpose of pretending that if you found a King James reading in the 2nd and 3rd century, it wasn't a King James reading because some other manuscript had it that you wouldn't classify as Byzantine? No, either Custer doesn't know that or else he lied about it. So we deal with these men, we must attribute their falsehood and their duplicity and their treachery to either ignorance or crookedness. Now you take your pick. I guarantee you can find some of the Receptus readings as far back as any Alexandrian text. But watch him go. And here is the knocker of the century. Quote, however, the Alexandrian text in which the New American Standard Bible is based has been traced back to the 2nd century A.D. In fact, the oldest Greek New Testament manuscript that has been found, P52, dated about 125, belonged to the Alexandrian text. That is when 30 years, the time of the Apostle John wrote his Gospel, these oldest manuscripts are the most accurate because they are closest to the originals which the apostles wrote. Now, do you realize what that rascal did? He told you P52 was a manuscript. Isn't that something? There isn't one Greek scholar in America today who had any education that doesn't know P52 is a papyrus fragment that's not as big as your hand. Imagine that fellow trying to tell you they found a piece of paper as big as your hand. They were so anxious to get rid of the King James Bible that they classified that as a manuscript when it wasn't, and then it put it in the Alexandrian text when it matched the King James readings. Isn't that something? Do you know what part of John is found in P52? It's part of John 18. You know what it matches? It matches the King James Bible. You know what century that is? That's the 2nd century. Do you know why they call it Alexandrian? To make you think the Alexandrian manuscripts were older. He's a liar. Quote, sometimes this charge, the Alexandrian text omits the word blood in Colossians 1:14. That's innuendo. What do you mean sometimes it is charged they omit the word blood? The word blood is omitted, whether anybody charges it or not. And notice how these fellows have trouble in their rational processes. He said that to make you think that maybe it was or was not true. Sometimes it is charged the word is omitted. No, boys and girls, the word is omitted whether anybody charges it or not. If you don't believe it, look at it. Now notice how this nervous complex these fellows get into fixes them so they can't write five lines without either lying or misrepresenting or omitting or adding or perverting some truth. It is charged, the Alexandrian text admits it. No, that isn't the point. The point is that it does. And whether you charge that it does or doesn't, or believe that it does or doesn't, or say that it does or doesn't affect the fact that it does omit the word. You see what I mean, Jelly Bean? Now, you liars, always looking for a way out, you just overlook that. You wouldn't in a courtroom. You're involved criminally. Quote, Stuart, Custer, these oldest manuscripts do not have the word in that verse. Some later scribe probably thought of Ephesians 1:7. Proof? No proof. And accidentally inserted the phrase in Colossians 1:14. Proof? No proof. The New American Standard Version follows the Alexandrian text in Ephesians 1:7 and correctly translates the word as blood. How do you know the word should be in Ephesians 1:7? Why do you say correctly translates when the word might have been added by a careless scribe there too, Doc? Quote, the New ASV also used the word blood in other key verses where these oldest manuscripts have it. There is no attempt to obscure the doctrine in the Alexandrian text. Deliberate, direct falsification. If you took the word through his blood out of Colossians 1:14, that is an attempt to obscure the doctrine of blood redemption in Colossians 1:14. Now notice the reasoning of the deluded apostate fundamentalists in the Alexandrian cult. These deluded fools think that if the word blood wasn't taken out from other places, there was no attempt to obscure the doctrine if it was taken out of one or two places. Do you see that? Now here they overreached their reach and overdrew their checking account. Because when through his blood is taken out of Colossians 1:14, it does affect a basic fundamental doctrine. Now let's thoroughly understand ourselves here when we talk about this matter, because this is the official stand of Bob Jones University against the King James Bible while professing to believe it and defend it. Here you are told that if the expression through his blood is taken out of Colossians 1:14, there has been no attempt to obscure the doctrine. Quote Stuart Custer. May I remind the simplest student of the Word of God, the most primary student in beginner's class, that remission of sin is found throughout the Old Testament, but completed blood redemption, Romans chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 9, does not occur until Christ's blood is shed. May I remind the most simple primary beginner that if through his blood is removed from Colossians 1:14, you have the Roman Catholic equation that remission of sins and redemption are the same element and the same doctrine, which, of course, they're not. Whoever is removed through his blood from Colossians 1:14 has equated redemption with remission of sins, which it's not. They had remission of sins through the blood of bulls and goats, Hebrews 7, 8, 9, 10, but no redemption until it was through Christ's blood, Colossians 1:14. Therefore, the fact these apostate corruptors and these apostate fundamentalists are now recommending a Bible that has not removed the word blood from every verse, but has removed it from Colossians 1:14, the fact they've done this shows exactly where they stand. They think they're smart enough to correct the blood atonement of Jesus Christ where it deals with redemption. If your Greek text does not have the expression through his blood in Colossians 1:14, it is a text that denies one of the first basic fundamentals of the faith, the blood redemption of Jesus Christ. Stuart Custer continuing, quote, some men charge that Westcott and Hort who recommend the Alexandrian text were liberal unbelievers. I don't know anybody that charges that. Custer, old boy, I've read all of Dr. Hills, all of Dr. Fuller, I've read all of J.J. Ray, all of Wilkerson, all of Bergen, all of Miller, all of Scribner. I don't recall where anybody said that Westcott and Hort were unbelievers or that they were liberals. Now this is the straw dummy that Stuart Custer puts up to make you feel sorry for these poor maligned men. And what follows, he wastes a whole paragraph trying to tell you that since these men believe in the virgin birth, like a Roman Catholic, and the bodily resurrection, like a Roman Catholic, and his miracles, like a Roman Catholic, that they are reliable in recommending the Roman Catholic text of the Vatican Library. Nobody has ever said that Westcott and Hort were liberal unbelievers. What they said that they were a bunch of demon-possessed apostate conservatives. You misread us, son. What they said was they were tools in the hand of Satan to overthrow the authority of the Word of God. That's what they said. What they said, they were good, godly, dedicated, apostate, egotistical reprobates who thought they were smart enough to judge the Word of God. That's what we said. Quote, Westcott defended the deity of Christ, his virgin birth, his bodily resurrection, his miracles, and other doctrines. So did the Pope, Stuart. Quote, the greatest Greek scholar that America ever produced is A.T. Robertson, a strongly conservative Baptist. Robertson defended the Alexandrian text all his life. Yes, he certainly did. He was a cult member exactly like Kenneth Wiest and Zodiades and the Lockman Foundation and the faculty at Tennessee Temple. They're all cult members. They all defend each other. And they all defend any text that overthrows the King James text. That's the mark of the cultist. Quote, the second greatest American Greek scholar is Gresham Machen, a strongly conservative Presbyterian. Machen defended the Alexandrian text all of his life. He certainly did. He was an apostate conservative, as A.T. Robertson, exactly like Wiest and Zodiades, or apostate fundamentalists. Well, here's Custer, quote, to call these men liberals or unbelievers is to slander the dead. We don't call any of them unbelievers or liberals. We say they are members of the greatest anti-scriptural cult the devil ever produced, the Yea Hath God Said Society. We believe all of them are saved men who thought their old nature equipped them to sit in judgment in the Word of God. We believe all these good, godly, dedicated men who loved the Lord and defended His Word vigorously never found a copy of His Word one time that they lived, from the time they were born to the time they died. There's no case for Dr. A.T. Robertson or J. Gresham Machen or Westcott and Hort ever professed to have a copy of the Word of God in their hand unless they lied about a Greek text they didn't have. Stuart Custer says they were firmly convinced the Alexandrian text was the better text. Now you see how the deadly virus has spread? You are told that Westcott and Hort and Robertson and Machen were good, godly, dedicated conservatives, and therefore, since they were great Greek scholars and firmly convinced, that you'd better be convinced too. You see how neatly the thing was done? What didn't he tell you? One, he didn't tell you that Westcott and Hort were both pro-Catholic, and neither one of them believed in Genesis 1, 2, and 3 literally. Two, he didn't tell you that Machen and Robertson were amillennial and couldn't teach three-quarters of the Bible and were two of the poorest, most shallow Bible scholars that ever lived. Their strong suit was Greek grammar. As Bible scholars, they'd have made good monkeys. And finally, he didn't tell you that every good, godly, dedicated man has an old nature, and it isn't hard to convince a good, godly, dedicated scholar that the Alexandrian text is the best text, because if this is done, he can correct the King James Bible with it and set himself up as a final authority over the authorized text. The hallucination carried on by the faculty of Bob Jones University to the effect that if a man is a good, godly, dedicated man, like Westcott and Hort, Machen, Robertson, that therefore his old nature is eradicated, is nonsense. You say they don't teach an eradication of the old nature. They don't believe that. You're setting up a straw dummy. Okay, if that's true, tell me, boys and girls, how does the old nature in a Greek scholar operate? I mean, I'll grant you Bob Jones doesn't teach an eradication of the old nature. They just ignore it when dealing with biblical authority. If you were a saved, good, godly, dedicated scholar who believe everything a Roman Catholic is supposed to believe, like Robertson, Westcott, and Hort Machen, how would your old nature react to the authority of the authorized version? Did you ever think about that one? Write us a paper on it, okay? How about a 50-page paper on how the old nature in the born-again Christian reacts to the authority of the Word of God when it desires to exalt itself as a superior authority? Especially in a good, godly, dedicated Greek scholar. Stuart Custer, quote, continuing on, God does indeed providentially care for His Word. Notice he doesn't say the Bible. When these fellows say His Word, capital W, they mean Barth and Brunner, Tillich and Niebuhr, the message contained in the Bible. Quote, He delivered it to the apostles and prophets as an absolutely infallible revelation. Proof? No proof given. Quote, There are undoubtedly more copies of manuscripts and translations of the Bible than any other writing in the world. And the vast majority of verses in the Greek New Testament, we do have the exact reading that was in the original. All right, one false impression, one deliberate lie. The thing that was placed in your mind was, since there are more copies of manuscripts and translation of the Bible than any other writing, and since the vast majority agree, with no significant variations, that the Alexandrian text of Westcott and Horst is the right text. Little slip up there, Custer. The vast majority don't read the Alexandrian text. The Alexandrian text contains less than 5% of the readings. Documented evidence? Wilbur Pickering, The Identity of the New Testament Text. Documented evidence? Which Bible? With a PhD thesis by Wilkerson. Then, an innuendo or implication was planted, first of all, that he's going by the majority of manuscripts, which he's not, that he's going to go by them, which Westcott and Hort did not, nor did Robertson, nor did Macon, nor did Olland, nor did Nessels, nor did Metzger, although he didn't tell you that when he wrote this mess. The first slander was that since the majority contained these things as reliable, and the Alexandrian text is not the majority, and then he deliberately lied and said, we do have the exact reading that was in the original. He's a liar. He's never seen the original any more than Robertson, Westcott, North Macon, or any other apostate conservative of the Alexandrian cult. They'll lie. Quote, yet when we recognize that some particular phrase in our English Bible does not agree with the oldest and best preserved manuscripts that we have, we must not shirk our responsibility by saying, if God had not willed that, that be the reading it could not have gotten into the Bible. It is the responsibility of Christian scholars to correct any translation by the oldest and best manuscripts that they have. Notice he didn't tell you which were the oldest, and notice he didn't tell you which was the best. Now this is the double-tongued, two-faced flim-flam you're going to get at Tennessee Temple, Hiles Anderson, and Lynchburg and Bob Jones University. You're going to be taught the oldest and best manuscripts say this without telling you what manuscript they're using, because the one they're using are many times not the best and many times not the oldest. Proof, the Christian Handbook of Manuscript Evidence, published in 1970. Now look what this rascal did to you. He said if you recognize some phrase in the Bible doesn't agree with some manuscripts which he didn't identify, it is your responsibility to change the Word of God with those manuscripts which he didn't identify. You think he didn't say that? All right, I'll quote it. Quote, yet when we recognize that some particular phrase in our English Bible does not agree with the oldest and best preserved manuscripts we have, we must not shirk our responsibility. It is the responsibility of Christian scholars to correct any translation by the oldest and best manuscripts that they have. Now, isn't that something? You know, he told you that his bunch, the scholars, are in charge of changing your Bible any time they find a phrase which they think they can recognize as not agreeing with a Vatican manuscript in the library at Rome. Because all through this business, this double-tongued flim-flam, Custer never committed himself. He never told you what he thought the oldest and best manuscripts were. He committed himself halfway. He said they were the Alexandrian text. But who takes his Bible study seriously doesn't know what the Alexandrian text is? Why, it's Sinaiticus and Vaticanus, containing New Testament and Old Testament Apocrypha. Now, watch what these fellows are doing to you. If you read through your King James Bible and find it doesn't agree with 2 Clement in Vaticanus and Barnabas in Sinaiticus, it is your responsibility to correct the King James Bible with Vaticanus and Sinaiticus and add the Apocrypha and the Shepherd of Hermas and the Epistle to Barnabas. You say he didn't say that. If you followed what he said, that's what you'd have to do. Because when he said the oldest and best manuscripts, he knew what he meant, and we knew what he meant, and he knew what he meant. He just didn't say it. So you'd catch him. These people, the most evasive, deceitful, treacherous prevaricators on this earth. And every one of them is a saved fundamentalist or a saved conservative who is replacing the King James authority with the authority of Christian education. He knows exactly what he had in mind when he said the oldest and best manuscripts, and I do too, and he knows I know he knows that I know. And he knows that I know that he knows that I know. But this young man that got this letter couldn't figure it out, because Custer didn't list the oldest and best manuscripts. If he had, he'd cut his throat from ear to ear, because the oldest are not the best. And he knew it. As Zane Hodges of Dallas Theological Seminary has said, quote, "It is an almost a truism in textual research that the oldest manuscript does not necessarily contain the best text." Is that clear? Well, it's a truism the faculty of Bob Jones University knows nothing about. For example, there's an arbitrary handling of manuscripts where they don't use the oldest and best manuscripts in Matthew 10:32, Matthew 19:29, Matthew 20:12, Matthew 21:1, Luke 1:21, Luke 10:15, John 1:3, John 1:18, Acts 4:37, Romans 5:6, Romans 8:11, 1 Corinthians 3:16, and 200 more places I've got written right down here in a piece of paper with slide copies that can be shown on the screen in your church. This bunch will lie to you. They'll lie like a dog on a rug and never blush. The so-called oldest and best manuscripts contain more than 3,000 variations between the two oldest in the group, which is more variations than you can find in all three Greek texts used for the King James Bible. And Erasmus was not the text it was taken from. The King James Bible was taken from an eclectic text that included Erasmus' text, Beza's text, Stephanus' text, the Old Latin, and the Bibles of the French and English and Swiss, Albigensians, Huguenots, Vaudois, and early Anglican Christians, and Martin Luther's translation. The oldest and so-called best manuscripts, which Custer refused to name, represent less than 1/20 of the evidence. 4% of the verses out of 100, 4% out of 100, which leaves 96% of the evidence standing for the King James Bible, and 4% against it. There are 7,578 changes in the Vaticanus from the Receptus manuscript to the New Testament. There are 9,000 changes in Sinaiticus. Now, those things can be checked with manuscript evidence by getting the manuscript and reading the manuscript, or checking for men who had the manuscript photostatic copies and read them. Bergen documents in the Gospels and the two oldest so-called and best manuscripts 3,000 changes in spelling, with A, B, C, and D falsifying the Lord's Prayer in 45 words using 6 different combinations, with 60 variant readings in Mark 2:1-12 and the 5 oldest unseals, and Mark 14, the so-called oldest manuscripts. No two have the text in the same in all 4 places in Mark 14, verse 30, 68, and 72. One copy has to be wrong in 1,374 places. You got all hell broken loose. In the so-called oldest Papyrus manuscripts, which Custer was afraid to list, either through ignorance or crookedness, there are 200 nonsense readings in Papyrus 66, there are 400 iticisms or mistaken vowel sounds in them, plus singular readings, 216 found in the No manuscript, 20 in P45, 57 in P57. These are undoubtedly the most corrupt manuscripts anybody has ever found. There are 589 readings in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John for B that are peculiar to any set of manuscripts, affecting 858 words. There are 1,460 peculiar readings in Sinaiticus, affecting 2,640 words. And A manuscripts, Alexandrinus, differs 842 times from the Receptus, with 133 in all others, where the 5 oldest witnesses can't agree
47 times in 600 verses. That's documented evidence provable in a law court. And that's what Custer told you to correct your English Bible with. Page 2 and 3 of the letter. You're a fool if you think such a man is an honest man when dealing with matters of biblical authority. If he was honest in every other matter except that, you couldn't trust him in that as far as you could kick your Cadillac with your left foot. Now here starts the deliberate lying. The following end of Custer's letter is a series of deliberate, intentional lies which are given with malice aforethought, knowing he is lying and conscious of his lying when he lies, exactly as he learned to lie from Kenneth Wiest, A.T. Robertson, Anderson, Yeager, Allen, Metzger, Thayer, Barry, Davidson, Kyle, Delitzsch, Origen, Eusebius, Jerome, and the other good, godly, dedicated apostates of the Alexandrian cult. Quote, the student of the Greek New Testament may have the serene confidence that the printed edition of the Greek New Testament has the readings of the original in the vast majority of verses. Lie number one, there is no such thing as the Greek New Testament. Lie number two, there is no such thing as the printed edition of the Greek New Testament. Lie number three, you don't know whether it matches the originals or not because you don't have them. Now those are three lies right in a row. And those lies are deliberate. They're conscientious. Not conscientious, well, you might put that too. They're conscious lies. That is, those lies are done with a man writing, knowing at the typewriter that he is deliberately lying when he writes down the lie. Stuart Custer knows perfectly well there is no such thing as the Greek text. He knows there's no such thing as the printed edition of the Greek text. And he knows there's no such thing as being sure it's close to the original or matching the original. When he doesn't have the original, you don't have the original, I don't have the original, and neither does anybody else on this earth. Those are three direct, straight, out-and-out lies that are given with malice aforethought, with full knowledge of the facts under him, and done to deceive and make the believer think that there is at Bob Jones University the printed edition of the Greek New Testament. He's a liar. There's a Greek Testament by Farrell, one by Walton, one by Alfred, one by Erasmus, one by Ptolemaeus, one by Stephanus, one by Toynard, one by Wells, one by Bentley, one by Elzevir, one by Beza, one by Baxter, one by Scrivener, one by Lockman, one by Griesbach, one by Alter, Birch, Hugh, Doherty's, William Mace, Banger, Sembler, Tregellis, Wordworth, Tischendorf, Schultz, Westcott, Nestle, Metzger, Birch, Alter, Mathai, and four others. And that can be proved in the court of law. The faculty of Bob Jones is criminally involved in deceiving the Bible believer into thinking that they have the Greek New Testament in an printed edition, which they don't. And he knew it when he wrote it. Quote, the student who reads an accurate translation of the Greek is certainly able to read it in faith that it is the Word of God, without telling you which Greek, and after admitting there were two different families. After admitting there was an Alexandrian text and a Textus Receptus, this rascal said, if you read an accurate translation of the Greek, by implication he must mean the Greek is the Alexandrian text. That's what he says in his letter sent out by Bob Jones III to the Elzingers. He's a liar. The Alexandrian text is not the Greek text. There's no such thing as the Greek text, and Custer knew it when he wrote the lie. Quote, furthermore, the closer the translation to the reading of the oldest and most authentic of the manuscripts, the surest confidence in the text can be, which has been proved falsely by Wilkerson, Bergen, Miller, Scrivener, Hills, Pickering, Hodges, and any serious student who has better sense than believe an egotistical lying rascal can be trusted as far as you can kick the moon. Quote, obviously the manuscripts closest in time to the writing of the apostles and prophets have the highest claim to authenticity. That's a lie. The two main manuscripts used to correct your King James Bible with by Westcott and Hort, Alan Metzger and Dr. Custer and Bob Jones University contain the Apocrypha as part of the Old Testament and two books in the New Testament as New Testament Apocrypha. Are you trying to tell us because they are close to the time of the writing of the apostles, they have the highest claim to authenticity, they have the highest claim to corruption? As Paul said, there were people trying to corrupt the Word of God at the time he began to write. And when Paul was writing in Corinthians, before the New Testament was even complete, he warned about many people in his day corrupting the Word of God. Custer concluding, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ should not be misled by the inflated opinions. Imagine that. Imagine that bunch of egotistical jackasses correcting your Bible in 35,000 places because they, quote, recognize some particular phrase didn't match Vaticanus and Sidiaticus, and then talking about the inflated opinions. Why, you bloated gas bag, you stuffed shirt, you blow it out your stack. Imagine that conceited ignoramus talking like that. Why, that egotistical prude, who does he think he is, the fourth member of the Trinity? The very idea, some men who have inflated opinions of the equality of the Textus Receptus. I never met a man in my life who had an inflated opinion of the equality of the Textus Receptus. I've met some egotistical jackasses who have an inflated opinion of their own scholarship. I've met some men who were egotistical egomaniacs who thought they were smart enough to correct the Word of God in 36,000 places on the base of a North African manuscript that contained so many corruptions that you couldn't miss the corruptions in it if you couldn't find a bowling ball in a bathtub. Quote, we should instead give thanks to God that He has providentially preserved such ancient manuscripts to enable us to maintain the purity of His Word. Believers are always obligated to keep testing all things, keep holding fast that which is good. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, which is not a quotation from the King James Bible. Now this finishes our brief comments on the letter by Stuart Custer put out to disturb the saints, disturb their authority, shake their faith in the King James Bible, shake their faith in God providentially preserving the Word through Bible believers instead of people who thought they were smart enough to sit in judgment upon it. This is our answer sent out by Stuart Custer to split every local church in this world over the matter of authority. These men are hellraisers and church splitters, and their desire to tear up the churches is based on the fact that if the churches are torn up, then they can look to a school instead of a church for their authority. This is done by convincing the congregation of the pastor there's more than one authority and dividing the congregation on matters of authority. These people have been splitting churches all over America for pretty close to 100 years. And they'll keep on splitting them. The Lord comes back by recommending between 2 to 5 versions. The apostate liberals recommend the RSV, the new RSV, the Jerusalem Bible, Good News, the New English Bible. The apostate fundamentalists recommend the ASV, the King James, the new ASV, and the New International Bible. All this is done to destroy the local church and divide the body of Christ in matters of authority so that in their helpless, hopeless search for finding absolute authority, they will in panic and depression, despair, turn to the faculty members themselves who sit in judgment on the Word of God. This will let the faculty member of the school play God for the Christian and set himself up as the final authority, and a perfect example of it is the closing to Stuart Custer's letter, which talks about the providential preservation of God's Word and closes with a quotation that Custer made up himself from some Greek text. Since he obviously didn't have the Greek text and knew he didn't have it when he lied about it 3 times in one letter. So much for our comments. Now, if we've been a little bit vituperative or vilifying or castigating in our negative comments along these lines, let the listener not forget that we get letters like this every week, and have gotten letters like this every week for almost 20 years. Let him not forget the untold damage these fellows are doing to young men in Christian schools is beyond repair. And let him not forget these vile and filthy things these fellows are saying while professing to be pious, and these godless, extreme, fanatical things these fellows are saying, knowing they're lying, are destroying the faith of young men in authority and send them out to preach the gospel with no authority but the authority of a college professor who was led by the devil to correct the Bible in 36,000 places. According to the most gross and godless, depraved, corrupt manuscripts anybody's ever found. If Custer doesn't have the guts to name them, we'll name them. They are Sinaiticus, signified by the Hebrew letter Aleph, Vaticanus, signified by the letter B, and on occasion, as occasion allows, A. Alexandrinus, where it disagrees with the Receptus. All these manuscripts agree with the King James Bible in many readings because they were copies of the King James Bible in the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th centuries. When a reading is found the 2nd, 3rd, 4th century that matches the King James and the Alexandrian, credit is given to the Alexandrian by the Alexandrian cult according to the mythological hallucination invented by Grease Bottle Lockman called the family classification, which of course any serious student of the Bible knows is a depraved hoax. For further information, be sure and consult our bibliography given to you on this tape, especially the work called The Identity of the New Testament Text by Wilbur Pickering, and especially the work on the Defense of the King James Bible by Dr. Waite, W-A-I-T-T-E, and the large voluminous works done by Dr. Edward Hills, a graduate of Columbia, Princeton, and Harvard University. Suffice it to say that Dr. Stuart Custer and Dr. Neal of Bob Jones University are representative of the Alexandrian cult and shoot par for the course. They carry out the same line of depraved propaganda that's been carried out by apostate fundamentalists and apostate conservatives since the days of Origen and Augustine. And with their old nature sat in judgment on the Word of God, these deluded fools have thought that 20 years of formal education equipped them to correct God's Word. We do not hesitate to say the Bible is quite competent to correct them. And when we say the Bible, we mean the Bible that we have in our hand while we're talking. And we say it and repeat it again and again and again that the King James 1611 Authorized Version is quite sufficient to correct the scholarship of any Greek scholar, living or dead, who ever thought he was smart enough to correct it. And where we may see Macon and Westcott and Hort, Nestle, Holland, Metzger, and Roberts in heaven, which we might, certainly we should be never so foolish as to follow their advice on our pathway and our trip there. On the words of Billy Sunday, where scholarship says one thing and the Bible says another, scholarship can go plumb to the devil. And that's a good creed to live by and die by. I hope this tape has cleared up the doubts planted in the mind of this young man about the authority of his Bible. I hope the additional information has armed him against further attacks in the King James Bible by Bob Jones University, Tennessee Temple, and Hiles Anderson and other apostate fundamentalist schools, that he'll stick by the King James Bible. Remember that no amount of talk or alibiing or innuendo or slander implication can ever be a substitute for dealing with documented facts. If the believer wishes further facts, he may obtain the 8 hours of cassettes from the Pensacola Bible Institute on the Alexandrian cult, where you're given documented, photostatic, Xerox copy evidence that the majority of faculty members in any school think they're smart enough to correct God Almighty and do it by deliberate, intentional lying and are paid salaries to do it.